He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine that Jesus Christ, he came in the flesh, he's fully human, he is fully God, do not receive him into your house, nor even greet him. Wow.
Why do you run from me? I just don't understand. I'm reaching out for you. You won't take my hand.
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Happy Friday and welcome. On Love Never Fails today, Pastor Bill continues his study in the epistle of 1 John, with the conclusion to the message, Two Spirits. Let's join the study now.
This is a doctrine that can never, ever be compromised by the church. Amen? Never. And there are those who believe that Jesus wasn't born of a virgin. Do you hear me? That he really didn't rise from the dead. That all those things, that he really wasn't the God-man. And you know what? They're in trouble. Matter of fact, they're not even saved. So any person, no matter who they are, teacher of God's word, if they don't believe this, number one, they're not God, and we're going to find it in a minute, they're not even born again. Now, this is a living word from God. And I'm not up here to confess a historical fact to you, even though it is a historical fact. I'm telling you, I confessed with my mouth and I believed with my heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. And that's how we're saved. Amen. That's how we're saved. Romans 10:10, for with the heart one believes to righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, verse 3, here comes the contrast. And every spirit, no matter who they are, whoever the teacher might be, whoever they are, every spirit that does not or refuses to openly declare, boldly, or confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, here it is, they're not born again, is absolutely, loved one, not of God. Now look what kind of spirit this is. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is already in the world. So the false teachers then and today, listen to me, they operate under the spirit of error, which is the spirit of Antichrist. That's what the Gnostics of John's day were doing. They denied the incarnation. They said there is no way that Jesus was God, flesh, or human at the same time. Here's what they taught. They taught that Jesus was a person, and that at the baptism, remember Matthew 4, when the dove descended upon our Lord? Okay, they say that's the divine Christ that came upon just a human. Jesus, okay? And he stayed on him until he went to the cross and was being crucified, and then it departed. Because, see, Jesus wasn't a real human. He was just a phantom. Well, Jesus wasn't a phantom, amen? When the resurrected Christ, remember when the disciples were in the upper room, and he appeared unto them, and Thomas was one of the ones he got onto, because he says, hey, Thomas, come over here and stick your finger into the nail prints into my side. You know, don't be faithful, but believe. And then he looked at them and started talking to them, and he says, why are you afraid? He says, I'm not a spirit. He says, I have flesh and bones. A spirit doesn't have flesh and bones. Amen? Jesus was not a spirit. He is the God-man. He is God in the flesh, amen, yet without sin. He's perfect God, perfect man in union, okay? And so that's very, very important. They didn't believe that. So when we get over to 2 John in verse 7, it says this. John says, hey, there are many deceivers. They've gone down in the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and antichrist. When we get over again to 2 John, let me read verse 9 to you. It says, he writes, whoever transgresses, in other words, whoever crosses God-given doctrine, okay, crosses over the boundaries of established doctrine. It says, whoever transgresses does not abide in the doctrine of Christ. They don't have God. No matter how smart they are, no matter how eloquent they are, no matter how well they speak, or all the degrees in their name, okay, doctorate of divinity and all the rest of it, even no matter how loving, they're not of God. It says, he who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you, this is for us today and then too, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine that Jesus Christ, he came in the flesh, he's fully human, he is fully God, do not receive him into your house, nor even greet him. Wow, don't even say hello. Don't let that Democrat in your house, I mean, not a Democrat. I'm joking. You know, I love to torture Democrats and Republicans. You know why? Like I told the early service, because Jesus is an independent. And his is the only vote that counts. Amen? Amen. So, now, watch this. Don't even receive them into your house. Don't even say hello to them. Why? For he who greets him, you let him into his house, that person, shares in his evil deeds. Wow. Why? They bring into your home that spirit of error is resting upon them. The spirit of Antichrist is resting upon them. Do you understand? That's why. Don't let them into your home. They knock on your door. I go outside. You know what I do with cults? I only ask them one question. Tell me who Jesus is. Because, see, that's all you need. You don't need to battle about it. Just tell me who Jesus is. That right there separates them immediately. Okay? Now, Christians today, you know, I have believers that some believe in the rapture. I believe in the rapture. Of course, we do. But they don't believe in the rapture. Or if they do, it's going to happen after the Great Tribulation period or whatever. Well, I don't believe that. But I love them. Okay, it's okay. Or they say the gift of the spirits have passed away. Well, it's okay. They're not very smart people. It's all right. Or they don't believe in the literal thousand-year reign of Christ. Okay, I can live with all of those things. I have great liberty. They're my brothers and sisters, okay? However, there is no liberty with the doctrine that Jesus Christ came from heaven. He was born of a virgin. He is the God-man. He is 100% God, and he is 100% man. Amen? There is none. Listen, that is the spirit of Antichrist. Now, I want every person to let everything fall out of your mind except what I'm about to say. Listen to what I'm about to say from God's word. When I look at this verse, verse 4, it's emphatic in the Greek. It's almost like John is screaming at us in love. He says, you are of God. They're not of God. You are of God. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. That is perfect tense, meaning this group here, they didn't buy the Gnostics' false teaching. They were strong in God. They loved the Lord Jesus Christ, and they had permanent victory over them because they were an overcomer. Look at it again. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. So he reminds the readers who they are, of their true identity, and us as well. We are the real children of God. Amen? No, that should melt our hearts. 1 John 3:1. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. A love that is foreign to this world, a love that is from heaven, his love, that is bestowed upon us, and meaning lavishly bestowed upon us. He said that we should be called what? That's who we are. We don't belong to this world. We are children of God. We're sons and daughters of the living God. Amen? And he says, listen, the world doesn't know us because it did not know Jesus. Okay? Beloved, now we are the children of God. And it has not been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Amen? Listen, that could happen today, immediately, and we're like him. Praise the Lord. Not meaning we're a god or anything, but we're sinless then. We're changed. We have a brand new glorified body. Amen? What a day that is going to be, loved one. But listen to me. We are the real children of God. And look what he says. You have overcome them, meaning the false teachers and everything else, loved one. The word overcome, what is it in the Greek? Nikao. We get our word, you know, the Nike shoe. Okay, it means victory or conqueror, okay? So it says here, we are all of them overcome. And it's plural, meaning everything, even all the Antichrist, even the false teachers, everything. But look at the reason for their victory. You're of God, little children. You've overcome them. Why? Because he who is in you. Do you see the word he? It's not talking about a language. It's not talking about a force or an essence. It's talking about a living person. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, is in you right this minute if you're born again. Amen? No, he's in you right now. Matter of fact, remember 2:20 says you have an anointing and you need no one to teach you because you know all things, meaning you have the Spirit of truth. You have the ability because of the Spirit of truth who lives in you to discern the spirit of error and the spirit of truth. Amen? You have that in you right now, but here it comes. Look at it again. It says here, you are of God, little children. You've overcome them because he who is in you, he who is in you, is greater than he who is in the world. Now, we know the one who he's speaking of there is Satan, amen? But remember what Jesus did on the cross to Satan? It says, 1 John 3:8, and we know that he was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. What did the devil do? He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, no, you're not going to kill anybody else. You know why? You know, I'm going to take away from you the power of death. You don't have any of that anymore. Matter of fact, you're going to bow down to me because on the cross, I defeated all of you. Amen? And that's exactly what he did. Listen, it says, greater is he who is in you, who is in the world. And that means every person in the world. It means whatever is in the world. And I want you to think about something and please open your hearts to these words. There should be something right now. Every time that you read this, there's something should go off inside of you, loved one. It says, he who is in you is greater. Loved one, listen to me. I don't know how to teach it. There is no one greater in the entire universe. Do you understand that? I say, oh God, wait. No, he who lives in me right now, he who lives in you right this minute, he is greater. There is no one greater than God. Listen, the creator of all things, the sustainer of all things, the one who upholds all things by the word of his power lives in you. The one who said, let there be light, he's in you. That's power. The one who said, the stars, the sun, the moon, that's the one who lives in you right this minute. The one who chose you before time began. He lives in you right this minute. The one who has blessed you with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus, and the one who seated you with Christ right this moment in the heavenlies, your position, he is living in you right now. There is no one greater in the universe, and he lives in me, and he lives in you, and he does it right this minute. Now listen to me. I beg you to get this. I don't even know how to teach it, but I know it is true. And that is, do you realize that you have the strength of God living in you right now? Do you know that living in you, you have the power of God? If God is in you, everything God is there. If the Holy Spirit is in you, is he omniscient, all-powerful, all the rest of it? He's in you. He's in you right this minute. Everything that he is, because he can't change, is in you. Greater is he who is in you than anything that is in this world. The Bible tells us we have the strength of God. Do you believe that? Ephesians 6:10. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord. Be strong, not in your strength. Be strong in the Lord and his strength and his power. Amen. And what's verse 11? And put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the wicked one. Amen? That you can pick up the shield of faith and quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. That you can put on the breastplate of righteousness and the wicked one has to bow. You know why? It's because it's not your righteousness. It's the righteousness of Christ. And Jesus defeated him. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Do you really believe you have that strength? Or is that just, yeah, I hear it, but do you believe it? Listen, Philippians 4:13, isn't it? I can do some things. Wow. You mean I can really do all things through Christ who strengthens me? Can I really do that? I mean, do I really have God's power? How about Acts chapter 1, verse 8? What did Jesus do? The last words he told the disciples, and he told us. He says, but you shall receive dunamis. His power, dunamis, God's power. You shall receive power, meaning they needed it, we need it. Are you trying to tell me they needed it, but we don't? But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit, what? Not in you. So he's already in you when he comes upon you. the baptismal measure of the Holy Spirit, and you shall be my witnesses. Are we his witnesses? Well, you need power. You need it for Jerusalem, Samaria, Judea, to the uttermost parts of the world. You need that power, and it's free. All you have to do is ask for it. We have that living in us right this minute. We have the strength of God in us right now. What does it say over in verse 14 of chapter 2? He says, you young men, you are strong. Are you strong or weak? You're strong. Why? For the word of God abides in you, and you have what? Overcome the wicked one. Do you understand all that we have, church? I mean, here we are. We've got the power, the literal power. God is living in us right now. A great scholar said this, we can no more be conquered than God himself, who has armed us with his power to the end of the world. We have it right now. What does it say over when we all can't wait to get to 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, where it says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Whoever, that's the only qualification. The only qualification for overcoming the world is one thing. Jesus, be my Lord. Save me. Whoever is born again, born of God, overcomes this world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith, just by believing. Not fighting, not straining. I believe. I believe, therefore, I have overcome because I'm in the one who's overcome the world. Amen? Everything God is, we are in it. We're his children. He's adopted us. We're co-heirs with Christ. Now, it says, has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Listen, do you realize that we are the only people on this planet, the church, the Christian, that has overcome this world? And anything this world can throw at us. Remember Romans 8:37. And this is the victory we have through Christ Jesus our Lord. In other words, we have the victory, the power. My brother always told me, I'll never forget, he's in heaven now. And he said, Bill, he said, never forget. He said, victory is our position, never our attitude. Victory is our position. We're in victory. Listen, my brother and I, we went through times when we didn't have any food. Bill, we're in victory. I said, I'm hungry. We're in victory. It's our position. Listen, how does that happen? On our darkest day of our life, when we're sick, when we are broke, when we don't know what we're going to, when everything appears to be gone and taken from, and whatever happens, you are in victory, loved one. You know why? Our Father, you know what he's doing to you right now and to me right now? 2 Corinthians 2:14, and thanks be unto God, our Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who always leads us in victory, our triumph through Christ Jesus our Lord. Listen, you are in victory right this moment. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in this world, loved one. Listen, I look and I say, dear God, the one who is in me is greater than death, greater than the demons, our sins, our failures. He is greater than any problem that I will ever face. Ephesians 3:20, for God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I ask or think according to the power that is working in us. And that power, loved one, is the Spirit of truth. Now, what does John do? He says in verse 5, three times he's going to use the word world. They, not us, they are of the world. Hey, man, we are of God. Satan's false teachers, you know what the false teachers and all those who do that, that's all they have. They have this world. They love this world that's passing away, okay? They love the world that crucified Jesus. They love the world that rejected Jesus. Remember John 1:10, Jesus said, I came to my own and my own rejected me. Listen, the only thing that those people have is a godless, cursed world that's going to pass away where Satan is head. 1 John 5:19, for the whole world lies in the sway of the wicked one. He says they are of the world. Therefore, they speak as of the world. And the world, what? Hears them. Isn't that amazing? Those that don't know Christ, they have a language and the world hears it. They believe what is false. They build their lives upon it. You know why? Because the heart of the world system is filled with the spirit of error, where truth is denied, where God's truth is not wanted, where evil is called good and good is called evil. That's what the world says. That's how they look at things. That's what they hear. And the people of the world only understand one language, and that is the language of this world. But we are not of this world. Amen? Look at verse 6. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. Now, listen, that word know, again, is gnosko. Yes, it speaks of experiential knowledge, but it's deeper than that. It means literally the Christian who through his entire life is growing in the knowledge of God. Okay, so he knows God hears us, meaning if you hear, you obey. And so John is saying us. Who's he talking about? He's talking about, remember from 1 John there in the first three verses? He says, listen, I'm going to talk to you about whom I've seen, who I know, who have I touched, and I've handled Jesus Christ. And so he's saying, you've obeyed the apostles, even though all of them are gone except him. He says, he who is not of God does not hear us. You know, they hear the word of God, but they don't obey the word of God. Now watch. By this we know, recognize, the spirit of truth, that's the Holy Spirit, and the spirit of error. Remember, that comes from the devil, the wicked ones, the spirit of Antichrist. So what did he just say? He says here in verse 6, the response to God's word reveals the true nature of the individual. Now listen, hearing God's word, listening to God's word, does not prove anything about the individual. Did you know that? Doesn't prove anything. It doesn't prove their spiritual condition, even though it says in Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing the word of God. But what John is saying right here is that a lot of people hear God's word, they listen to God's word, but that doesn't prove anything. What did Jesus tell us in Matthew 7:24? Therefore I say unto you, whoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house upon the rock, meaning his life. And the floods came and the winds and all the rest of it. That house didn't fall. Amen? But he who heareth these sayings of mine and does not do them, I will liken him to a foolish man who built his house or his life on the sand. Same storms came in, but that house didn't stand. His whole life was blown away. So to hear God's word means you want to do God's word. What did Jesus say, John 10:27? He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. I have a relationship with them. And what do they do? What's the rest of the scripture? They follow me. You see, they hear, but they do. Now listen, we're of God, and we have the spirit of truth in us right now. And we have the living word of God in our hands. Amen? Right this very minute. Now, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:12, it says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God. Why? That we might know the things that have been freely given unto us. The Holy Spirit will never lie to you. The Holy Spirit will never lead you out of the will of God. Amen? He loves us. What did Jesus call him? Jesus said, hey, I'm going to send you the helper. Let me give you the scripture, John 14:16. Jesus said, I'm going to pray to the Father. He will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth. Praise the Lord. He says, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him. And then he says two things. He says, for the Spirit of truth dwells with you. Do you know that? Do you believe that? Dwell, he means he abides, para, he's right alongside of you right now. He dwells with you. Here I am, Lord, I can't go anywhere to get away from the Holy Spirit because I am sealed with the Holy Spirit, but the paraclete is with me right now and with you, amen? So he says, it not only will the Spirit of truth be with you, but he will be in you. Greater is he who is in you than he is in the world. Loved one, listen to me. I don't even know how to say it any better. There is no one greater in the universe. Do you understand? There is no one greater. The greatest person in the entire universe lives in you. Does that just not blow you away? Look at who we are. And I'm going, oh God, all this power in us and so little power coming out of us. We don't have enough power to pray. We don't have enough power to read our Bible every day. We don't have enough power to serve. What's wrong? Well, we don't believe greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world.
Pastor Bill will continue his 1 John series when we return on Monday, and we look forward to seeing you once again. As always, we want to thank you for the privilege of your time. Have a wonderful weekend, and so long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.